is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 767. My name, as it is on Wednesdays in April, is Lisa Sheps. I'm joined today by my colorful co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. This puppy is streaming live at KOOP.org. Remember, don't go away. Stay where you are.
Hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
Whoa. Walk with me, little girl. Don't you be a fool. It is Wednesday, April 10th. Or as I have written on my script, April 10th, 2024. On the show today, we have St. Edward's Theater, Mary Moody Northern Theater, and their show, Into the Woods. Later on, we'll be talking to Austin Rainbow Theater, and their show, Log Cabin. And of course, we are going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Cleveland, and points west. Stick with us.
To soften the road.
To sit on.
Such a beautiful song.
Such a beautiful song. The whole score, that album you chose, that version, good stuff.
Yeah, that's the latest. That is Once on This Island. So we're going to talk about why we chose that in just uno momento. But hello, Nicole Shiro.
Hello, Lisa Sheps.
Today is post-eclipse by 2 days.
Yes, but the media keeps acting like it's still the eclipse with the nonstop coverage of the post eclipse.
Well, we waited long enough.
It's over.
It's over, and for me, it was a little disappointing. It was fun.
You didn't get to see any of it?
A few things peeked through the clouds. A couple. It was like, here I am. Oh, I'm gone. Here I am.
So my
gone.
Brother was the winner in all of this because as my neck was hurting, my brother was like, why didn't I get out the lounge chairs? And I was like, oh my gosh, you're the winner of this day.
That's good. We stepped out in the parking lot at the theater.
So I laid on a lounge chair to look straight up. Mm-hmm. And you just stared into darkness, though, with those glasses on until something did appear. And I think everyone who just kept hearing me go, did you see it? Was that it? Oh, I think it's here again.
Well, thanks again to Kim Simpson for another wonderful International Folk Bazaar.
Always.
We had a lovely discussion earlier about whether it was proper to pronounce it Romani or Romani. I thought it was Romani. He was doing Romani. We didn't know, so we decided to change it to Romani.
Oh, I like that.
Why not? We'll just make our own pronunciation.
That's a compromise. I like that.
But anyway, love that, Kim Simpson. Let's introduce our guests that are here in the studio with us. We have Nyla Watson.
Hi,
Nyla.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How
Good.
Are you?
Welcome. I'm hanging in there.
Good.
We have Juan Diego Chaparro.
Hello.
We have Lillian Harlow.
Hello.
And way over in the corner is Jarrett Mallon, not near a microphone. He's waving.
No, he's trying to hide, but he is waving.
So amazing. So that song we played was from the 2022 production of Once on This Island. And the reason why I chose it, did you see the article about Lincoln Center Theater partnering with 6 New York City schools to produce Once on This Island?
Isn't that
Junior?
Fantastic? Beautiful. You know how I feel. I love when this all happens and they partner and help these schools get the rights and give them access to the pieces before the general public. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So I think the 6 high schools they chose had never had campus-wide arts programs before.
And that's even more... that's sad, but now this is even more fantastic.
Yeah.
It's happening.
Yeah. So they're gonna do it. And they've had... other Lincoln Center teaching artists have worked with other parts of the high school. So other parts of high schools, like law schools, advocacy and community justice. But this is specifically for arts. And so that's a cool thing, which you would think Lincoln Center, that's what they do, right?
I know. Good for Lincoln Center. And I hope all the other large arts organizations in New York catch on to this because arts education is really important.
It is very, 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 very important.
It's not about a bunch of people coming off to go and act all the time, which is what everyone thinks it is. It is so much more. People excel in math and science when they're in the arts. They think outside the box.
They do.
They problem solve.
We say that.
Communicate. I had to be on the soapbox.
We say that a lot here on the show. And we have a couple of arts students here in the studio with us, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So y'all are art students. So how do y'all feel about art education?
Well, it was really essential in why I decided to become an actor.
Okay, true. Smart.
Yeah.
But I mean, what Nicole says is true. It also helps cognitive ability. And what I loved about having an arts education is just the wide ranging things. When you do theater, you're constantly learning. You learn about history. You learn about psychology. You learn about all these different things. It's a wonderful learning
process. It's like taking a different major every year for your life, or like every 6 months. Yeah. And it's like, I get a degree in life that way. It's just so important.
Big fan of this. You know what, Nicole?
What, Lisa?
I just want to let you know and everybody else know that the opinions
about that
expressed here on Offstage and on the Air are not necessarily those of the views of Co-ops Radio, the board of directors, employee, or volunteers. They're just our ideas.
They are.
We have, and we have a lot. We're going to talk about stuff. We normally don't spend a lot of time on this disclaimer about ideas, but there's a lot of stuff going on right now. And one of the things that I'm really happy with, which I was part of a group, and I'm still, our theater's part of this group. It's a nonprofit arts coalition about a new law that was just being proposed.
Which one?
It is called the Stages Act.
Oh, yes. 2024. Yes.
Which is called Supporting Theater and the Arts to Galvanize the Economy.
Yes, I couldn't get that all in there in one swoop trying to talk about this earlier.
That's a stage. And so it's interesting. I'm part of a coalition, and I keep forgetting it. We've talked about it on the show, but I'm part of the Nonprofit Arts Coalition, and we've been on calls for the past several months talking about getting this introduced.
Off the ground,
A few months ago, we had a thing, and it was the idea of it was introduced by Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Correct.
And amongst other people. So it's got sort of an uphill climb in today's current climate.
I was about to say there's a lot more people that have gone behind it to support it, sign it, say they sign it and back it and get it to more people. So
it's
getting some legs.
We're talking about $1 billion annually to specifically nonprofit professional theaters.
For 5 years, right?
For 5 years to help fund things like salaries. We talk about how, my theater cannot pay a living wage yet.
Correct.
So we need help with that. So salaries, infrastructure, rent, all these things are huge cost outlays that we and the nonprofit theater community has not yet bounced back since the pandemic. So I find this very, very important. And we had Save Our Stages Act, which saved...
This is kind of like the part de spinning part minds of that from that first initial.
Yep. So senators that supported this were John Fetterman and Jack Reed. And then in the House, it's got Suzanne Bonamici.
Bonamici.
I like that. Of Oregon. So this is benefiting, as I said, only professional nonprofit theaters. And not only that, they have to have either seen a decline in profits or have a mission of serving underrepresented communities.
Correct.
So
it's not just like,
it's not just anybody.
Everybody. There's,
yeah.
But so, they want to put a, they basically said in the whole thing, they want, this was, if not the one of the hardest hit industries that still is come back, and they want to put money in there to make sure that people can flourish and survive and not all fold and have to be rebuilding, because it's so vital.
Super important. True that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Super important.
And when you say it like that, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
So did you know that there is a union that represents actors on the stage in this country?
Yes, Lisa.
So am I. And that's Actors Equity Association. They're in the news. Mm-hmm. The president, who for the past 6 years has been president, is stepping down. That's Kate Schindel.
Correct.
She's been in there for 6 years. And so there's an article in the New York Times that talks about why
she's
stepping down.
And not just 6 years.
Oh,
let's talk
nine
about
years.
The last,
excuse me, it's 9 years.
Yeah, I was
years.
Like, I think it was like nine, but still, What a wild time. This 9 years, but this past 4 years must seem like 20 years.
Yeah, interesting. You know, and I'm not, I mean, I don't know how you feel, Nyla. I'm not the biggest fan of Equity as either an actor or not an actor, a performer, a member of the union, or as a producer. I mean, mm-hmm. I've seen it from both sides. So it's problematic, but very, very important.
You know how Patti LuPone feels.
We do. But we've also had other people. Charlotte St. Martin of the
Broadway League
stepped down. So there's a lot of changes going on. But here's what's interesting about Equity, which I find interesting. The president is an unpaid volunteer position.
Mm-hmm. But that's bananas right there.
That's bananas right there. And Kate Schindel, who's a well-known actor, doesn't qualify for insurance. And so as people know, Equity members and other people know that in order to get the insurance, you have to work X amount of weeks per year.
Correct.
And that's always been the big thing as an Equity member. I need to get my weeks in. I need to get my weeks in so you get your insurance, which is, that's a whole nother subject about this country I want to talk about.
Yeah.
But anyways, she's stepping down on May 23rd, which is right around the corner. But there was a there was this article in the Times. It was basically set up as an interview, and
I thought she was pretty candid.
She was pretty candid.
Yeah.
Candid. But what I loved, one of the questions, and this is something that a lot of theaters and my theater in particular, one of the questions was, as a result of the pandemic, the idea of, quote, the show must go on has changed. We see more performers calling out sick. What do you think about that? And she, of course, said it's really important. And we have adopted that, and many theaters have adopted that sort of philosophy as theater, because as someone who grew up, I'm a baby boomer, and I grew up, and indeed it's sort of built into me that I will work unless I am almost dead.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I will say yes to everything.
Right.
And I will.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the ethic. And as a performer in the hierarchy of theaters, they typically either feel like or they don't have agency. And if the director says do this, they have to say yes. And they don't always want to say yes. So that's all changing. And that's all, I think, for the good and for the better.
Yeah. I think it's hard because you walk into the industry knowing that people behind the table have control over your income.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that because that is how you enter into the industry, you also think that that's the same in the room. You think mm-hmm. that's the same after you sign the contract. You think that's the same when you're, you know, even in the contract doing the work, even though you have these protections or these clauses or this contract to kind of keep you safe, or this union that is supposed to be keeping you safe. I think that it all kind of ties together. And so I think that sometimes we have that mentality of like, because these people will continue to be behind the table later on in my career, I have to listen to everything that they say now.
Yeah.
Because they may also have the opportunity or the power, quote unquote, to then, you know, blackball me or stop me from working a couple of years if they know that I don't work hard enough or I don't, you know, push through, or I don't make it happen, or I'm not a by any means necessary kind of person. And I think that we are pivoting to more of a place where your body and your health and your mind are your place of wealth. That is, that's all you got, you know, especially as an actor. Everything is coming from my own body, my own mind. So I think it's crucial that it does change and that it does pivot. And I think even going back to the Stages Act, there's more, if there's more money circulating in the ecosystem of theater, not just Broadway, not just major theater houses, but even down to making a living wage in an Austin, Texas, in a small nonprofit theater that serves underrepresented communities, right? Then I do have more agency because I'm able to make more money. I'm able to get those health weeks. I'm able to do the things that allow me to be able to have agency and to say no when I need to. So,
and that's important. And I would argue that as a performer and wherever you sit on that hierarchy, you do have agency and you have to advocate for yourself and you have to take those chances or else the system will not change. And until you get people at the upper levels of theater buying into this change, and that's happening, but it's not happening nearly as fast as it should. It's really important to advocate for ourselves. So that's good. Let me see if I have any other things that, well, that'll save to the last thing. So, How to Dance in Ohio is doing a concert performance with all their original performers.
Isn't that kind of fun?
Yeah. And that's that looks really great. So all the actors that are on the spectrum that were performers in this thing are coming back to this, and that is, I'm just going to mention them by name: Desmond Luis Edwards, Amelia Fay, Madison Kopeck, Imani Russell, Liam Pierce, Connor Tague, and Ashley Wool are all coming to do this concert performance.
I saw this all and I was like, oh, my heart got full a little.
Yeah, I was able to see their closing weekend and it was a really special show. Really beautiful.
I am, and I will just say it right here because I know that they listen to this show on podcast. You know, Ground Floor Theater is really lobbying to get the rights to do it in December of 2025 because it's really right up our alley. We want to do it really, really bad. So I just want to say it out on the airwaves.
That's it.
I know they listen to this show. Who watches Only Murders in This Building? Anybody?
No, nobody? I know what it is.
Oh, interesting. Jared, do you watch Only Murders in This Building? Oh, he's running to a microphone.
I watched season one.
Season one, yeah.
I want to pick it back up, though.
I have a lot of friends on the show, shout out to Gerald.
It's one
season.
That I'm constantly like, oh, I have to watch. Oh, I have to watch. But it's also on a streaming service I'm never on. Yeah. So it's a whole like, I have to sit down. I have to put it on.
Shout out to who?
Gerald Caesar, one of my really good
love
friends.
Love Gerald Caesar.
On the show. Yeah, love him.
Well, some of the people are Richard Kine, Daphne Rubin-Vega, Catherine Cohen,
the new season.
Jin Ha. This is the new season.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are all added. And of course, other additions will be Molly Shannon, Eva Longoria, Eugene Levy, Zach Galifianakis, Desmond Borges, Sienna Weber, Lillian Rubello, somebody named Meryl Streep, and other people.
Yeah, I laughed. I was like, well, you guys just went all out this season to pull those people in, didn't
well, and
you?
I
love Steve Martin and Martin Short.
Yeah.
And I adore Selena Gomez.
She did. I did not like her in the first season. I liked her in the second season. I was met in the third season. So we'll see what happens in season four. And I'm okay with the show. The show is not as great to me as it is to other people, but Meryl Streep was amazing in it. The whole mega, because this last season, it was all about putting on a Broadway show.
Right.
So if you haven't seen it, those of you who are musical theater performers, I don't know if we have any in the room here.
Yes.
But you might want to go look that all. And so also, if anybody were here playing a role that Meryl Streep played in a movie.
Honor to be in the same sentence as Meryl Streep, okay?
There you go. And the final thing I want to talk about, because I want to give us a lot of time to talk. I've got some stuff I want to talk about in the local news. I need to talk about one other thing first. Those of you that listen to this show know that I don't do social media. I'm just terrible at it. I've tried. I'm not very good at it.
No, you're on the TikTok.
You'd let me finish the sentence. And then I discovered TikTok.
Yeah.
And now I'm addicted to TikTok.
Like,
and so lately,
you have an addiction.
Lately, my algorithm has put me to this a TikTok that's showing somebody watching something. It's a reaction video.
Okay.
And y'all might know this person. I did not. H.T. Hayes?
Name sounds familiar.
He's a hip-hop, maybe a hip-hop artist.
I mean, I'd have to see this.
But he's got a big YouTube presence. But it's I just keep seeing him watching the Hamilton protest.
Oh, yes.
And it's bringing tears to my eyes on a couple of...
Yes.
Have you been seeing this?
Yes, I have been.
Okay,
I have been.
To watch him do it, first of all, I love that video.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so in the sections, like the final song... I'm just crying,
yes.
and he's crying,
yes.
He's sobbing, he's reacting like how I would react as I was watching it for the first time, and it's just so much fun to see that.
Yeah.
So you've seen that. So do you have a favorite one of those reaction videos?
That one that you were talking about, Who Lives, Who Dies, Who Tells the Story.
Thank you.
And he like is just... It's like, I've seen it a million times, but watch something about watching him watch it for the first time and having those like those reactions, like just, it brings me to it. I was like sobbing in
my
bed.
And he doesn't know the actors. So the Angelica Eliza, that song, I don't know what the title is, but he says, I don't know who that woman is. And he's talking about Renee Elise Goldsberry.
Like,
I don't know who she is, but they're all good. That woman's got pipe.
Come on. Yeah. Tony winner. Okay.
Amazing.
He called the Tony from the live action.
Yeah. And speaking of her, I did finally watch. I sat down and I binged Girls 5eva, which is kind of fun if you haven't seen it.
Oh, I'm obsessed
love
with it.
Love to Sarah Bareilles.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we're going to hear
her. You're all so good. I am obsessed.
Woman. Well, I have a special connection with her. I did Waitress with her on Broadway.
And oh, so, that's right, you did.
I love that woman. She
is nice,
so,
as she seems.
Oh, my God. Even better. She's even better in person. God. She's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah.
So well, sweet. That show is fantastic.
Speaking of Shayna Taub. I know we weren't. we've talked about Suss on the show. It's going to open, I think, a week from today or a week from tomorrow.
Suss. Oh, my yes. God. Shout out to Anastasia Talley, one of my good friends. And she's in Suss on Broadway. Yeah, she's in Suss on Broadway.
That's the only place it is
we
right
did,
now.
We did Waitress together as well.
Amazing. Have you seen Suss yet?
No, not yet. But when I go back to New York, I'm
sure. I'm kind of obsessed with what I've seen on YouTube. It just looks like so much fun.
Agreed.
So those that don't know, Shayna Taub wrote this.
Yes.
There's a story in the New York Times called In an Election Year, Suss Takes a Political Battle to Broadway. And it just talks about her route to creating this musical.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she was in Cambridge in 2016 and went to sleep, as we all did, thinking that we would wake up with the first female president.
Wow.
And she was in the middle of working on this show about women's suffrage and getting Woodrow Wilson? No, Coolidge. Wilson? I don't know. Who it was. Whatever the president was when that happened, to get this thing going. And then she just woke up deflated.
Wow.
And so it took her a while to get it back up again. And it's going, and it's amazing.
Yeah, that cast is stacked. And I shouted out the wrong Anastasia. Anastasia Talley is playing Catherine on the MJ tour. And Anastasia McCleskey is in Suss, and we did Waitress together. Yeah.
Amazing. So I want to just say this is a quote of a quote. This is Hillary Clinton is one of the producers. It's her first time to produce. And she talked.
I thought she had produced something else before that. And then I was like, this is the first one?
I think this is the first
one. Yeah, I know. I just found it interesting because I had thought she already had being so involved. So it was
so this
interesting.
Article interviews several people involved in Suss, and they talk about their first year to vote. And Hillary Clinton's was 1968.
Wow.
And that was an incredible year to be. Wow. That was the year that. That Teddy Kennedy was assassinated. That was the year that MLK was assassinated. That was the year at the Democratic Convention in Chicago that all the riots broke out.
RFK, not Teddy.
RFK. Thank you. Sorry. And they talked about that she started college as a Republican, and that was the year of Nixon and Humphrey, who, when my father found out my mother voted for Humphrey, all hell broke loose in my household. But one of the things, Clinton said this, and I just want to say this quote. She said, there's no guarantee in a democracy. Every generation, every election, every voter has to keep replenishing the values and ideals and energy and purpose of democracy. It's so important to vote.
Wow.
And I honestly don't care what side of the aisle you are on about voting. If you have an opinion, the way to get that out there is to vote. And I would hope that your opinions and mine align, but if they don't, mazel tov.
And not just vote in presidential elections.
Correct.
Local.
Like, local elections affect you even more.
More so.
Yes. So, like, not just tune in, tune out. Like, really just vote. And we do vote a lot in Austin, but it's still vote.
No, you vote every 2 years, regardless.
Yeah. No, we have, like proposition. We're voting all the time here.
But also,
my
like, the Clintons, can we imagine, like, the Clintons might be at the Tonys?
Yeah.
Next year? Like, can we talk about that? I'm like, wait, she's a producer, so she's probably going to be at the Tonys. Her and Bill at the Tonys. Can they please present an award? I'm just asking.
Okay.
Someone please have the Clintons present an award at the Tonys?
I kind of rather see Barack and Michelle out there on that stage. Well, I'll just throw that out there.
Yeah.
Anyway, we don't have time to really go into this. Go and look at offstageonair.com. There'll be a link to this. But Shayna Taub's first election was 2008, which was just such an amazing election if you were part of that.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to see what... see what else I had in here that I wanted to talk about. Oh, this is cute. Nikki M. James, who is in it. Her first year was 2000. And she was pregnant when she voted, and she—I didn't even know. She said they gave her a sticker that said "Future Voter" that she put on her belly.
So sweet. I've never seen those.
I haven't either, but I'm going to look for them next time I vote.
That's so New York.
Yeah. So so anyway, that's that. We're going to go out and we're going to listen to "Keep Marching" from Suffs. This is Shayna Taub speaking it. Not only did she write it, she is also in it. And then we'll be back and we'll talk to the folks from St. Edward's. This is called "Keep Marching." We'll be right back.
Guess the world can be changed because we've done it before, so keep marching.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On Air with Lisa and Nicole. We had a wonderful, wonderful conversation spouting our opinions, which aren't those of the
station, the board of directors.
Just us.
None of the peeps, just us.
Yep. So let's go ahead and reintroduce our guests here and why they are here. They're here representing St. Edward's University and Mary Moody Northern Theater. And their production.
Ooh, you got that all out in one breath.
I did. Of Into the Woods, which is a rarely produced musical.
One of my favorites.
And here we go. We have guest artist Nyla Watson, who is playing the witch.
Yes.
And we have Lillian Harlow, who's playing the baker's wife.
Yes, hello.
And Juan Diego Chaparro, who's playing the baker.
Hello.
And then, of course, we have Jarrett Mallon, who's not on microphone, who's going to wave. There it was. He waved.
Oh, double wave.
Jarrett Mallon, who says he's shy, which I don't believe.
Me neither.
Somebody, I mean, I'm sure there's some people listening here that don't know what Into the Woods is about. Can somebody tell us?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, do it.
It's like a conglomeration of a bunch of fairy tales. And that, I mean, what else? Like, it's like fairy tales meet in the woods and also gets really sad and really deep yeah. at the same time.
Yeah, the brilliance of the composer, Stephen Sondheim.
Yes. Oh, I've heard of him.
He was very intentional with turning these fairy tales on their head mm-hmm. and allowing them to have relationship and kind of a intellectual approach to yeah. these fairy tales that allowed them to be a little bit more mature and a little bit more developed, and also to allow us to be able to see what the underlying meaning of these fairy tales yeah. are mm-hmm. As they come out of our storybook and onto the stage. So it's a really, really beautiful adaptation of a lot of different fairy tales that do end up in relationship with one another, and they meet in
the
woods.
Their fairy tales intertwine. That's yeah. the big yeah. thing. Sure. When yeah. that fairy tale is this one, you're like, whoa, wait, huh?
Yeah. You're able to kind of see the relationship, but also like, you know, the maturity of the yeah. fairy tales and what the underlying meaning is. Definitely.
And spoiler alert, not always a happy and happily ever after.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So so that's actually one of the fun things I love about the show is that and I get really angry when I hear people say that it should end at the end of Act One. Because the end of Act One is happily ever after yeah. and Act
you know,
Two is
Sondheim
like, oh,
used
not
to
so
chase
much.
Everyone out during previews because everybody would get up and leave during the first act and he would be going, It's not over. And would send people in.
Mm-hmm. And then when you brought it out to the greater public, once the movie came out, everybody said the same thing. It's like, no.
No, the second act is fantastic.
Yeah.
So this is Into the Woods, as you mentioned, is Stephen Sondheim. Mm. He's not known for easy music, is he?
No.
He's my favorite composer, though.
You and everybody else.
Yeah.
But no, a lot of people. So how has it been working with this music?
It is. Well, I had done the show in high school. Actually, it was my senior year, and I graduated high school right into the pandemic. So we were canceled. I was an undergrad, and we were about to go into Tech Week, and we canceled. So I was familiar with most of the music. But now I'm playing the baker, and there's obviously a lot more singing that the baker does than the narrator. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, oh, were you the narrator before?
Yeah, I was the narrator before.
Did the narrator sing at all?
He does
at the end of Act Two, somewhere in Act Two,
or end of Act One,
yes,
somewhere,
somewhere in there,
in the story,
yes,
but in the musical, it happens.
Okay,
but yes, it is very difficult music, but it is so intentional. Right. Everything is so intentional, mm-hmm. so it's been really helpful in learning it to really get to the root of each of the intentions of why everything is different, why it's a different melody this time, why these specific words are being used to tell the story.
Yeah.
And just a wee shout out to this person. Who's your music director?
Susan Finnegan.
Susan Finnegan.
A genius.
Yeah, oftentimes we get here. And Nyla, you're playing the witch.
I am.
Tell us about her.
Oh, I love her. I think that she is truth and bravery and audacity and beauty and love and maturity. And yeah, she just is the most powerful, I think, of all of the characters. And not just because she has magical powers, but I think that she is strong enough to stand in her truth unabashedly. And I think that she's strong enough to tell her truth unabashedly. And I think that, like, you know, her willingness to stand up in who she really is all the time, no matter the opinion of others, is just, I mean, it's something I aspire to sometimes. You know, we tend to people please and we tend to conform to the environments that we're in. And she is intentional about standing out. She's intentional about being the dissonance in the scene. And yeah, I really like admire that about her. I really do admire the way she makes me braver. So
That's great. Yeah. I love hearing that. I love that take on her.
Yeah.
And of course her arc as one of redemption as well. So that's a good thing. And Lillian, you're playing the baker's wife.
Yes.
And of course, the story of the baker and the baker's wife is sort of, actually, it's interesting that we have the three of you here. Because,
I was just about to say, it's a very interesting
because the witch weaves all
it.
The way through more than any other character, and the baker and the baker's wife weave kind of all the way through their narrative. Mm-hmm. So
just missing Jack.
We're just missing Jack.
And Little Red.
Little Red.
And Cindy. Oh. Yeah.
So Juan Diego, we heard, has done the show before. Have you done the show before?
I actually had a very similar experience to Juan Diego. It was the last show that I did senior year of high school before the pandemic hit. So I actually did get to do the show. I played the witch. Of course, I mean, it was high school. And like, I think that doing it this time has like brought a greater amount of understanding along with being able to mature in myself. For sure, in just all of the story. High school, it was like, you know, you learn the material and you go on stage and you kind of do it. Mm-hmm. But this has been such a real, like, a cool experience to do it again and to be able to find more depth in the characters, and especially in the baker's wife, who isn't like, she's not really a fairy tale creature. Her and the baker kind of stand out by that because their stories are something that's not known already. And so it's been really interesting to find where she kind of fits in this big story.
Sure. That's one of the things that as actors you're able to give your own personality to. Well, so I know Nyla, you're prepared to sing us a song.
Yeah,
yes?
Let's sing a little ditty.
Tell us what you're gonna do, and does it need any kind of setup?
Yeah, so this is Stay With Me, and it is kind of my plea. It's one of my most vulnerable moments in the show. I'm singing this song to Rapunzel, who is my adopted daughter, and if you have the opportunity to come and see the show, you'll see how she became my adopted daughter. And I think that this is, again, one of the opportunities where you get to see her truth be vulnerable. I think you get to see her truth be maternal and feminine in a way that is different from the way she moves through the rest of the show. Mm-hmm. So it's a really delicate moment, and so I wanted to bring that today.
Great. Okay. Well, this is Nyla Watson singing a song from St. Ed's Mary Moody Northern Theater's production of Into the Woods. You got your headphones, you can hear okay?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
Someone has to shield you from the world. Stay with me. Princes await there in the world, it's true. Princes, yes, but wolves and humans too. Stay at home. Child.
Beautiful. What a lovely song.
Yeah.
A lovely, lovely song that is. And it really, it so speaks to the heart of that character.
Yes.
Now, you are a guest artist.
Yeah.
You're based out of New York?
I am.
Okay, New York City or
New
the
York
other
City.
One? Okay. And how did you find yourself to in St. Ed's? How did you, how did we find you?
Shout out to Angela Burchett. I'm so happy I get to say her name. Shout out to Angela Burchett. She is a friend of mine and a friend of Jared's and recommended me for this opportunity. We did Color Purple, the national tour of Color Purple together. And also I've just known Angie from her expertise and prowess as a performer in New York for years and years and years. Jared reached out to me and asked if I would be available for this. And I was like, this aligns with every value that I have ever had.
Oh,
yes,
excellent.
Yes, yes. Speaking of arts education, I am an arts educator, so I am...
Hats off.
Yeah, thank you so much. So I got my bachelor's at Baldwin Wallace, but I also went back to school and got my master's in music theater voice and a post-master certificate in vocal pedagogy from NYU. My own voice teacher, Anna Flavia Zuim, shout out to you, Dr. Zuim, is one of the lead vocalists in New York City. And so like teaching and giving and pouring and loving on people and, you know, for me, showing the love of Jesus is like my thing. And so I wanted to be able to come and pour. I wanted to like cut myself open and give them everything that I had. And I tell them all the time, like, if we're in rehearsal, you have a question, ask me. If you want to know something, we're in class, ask me. Like, I want to give as much as I can, because I don't think that I've been blessed to be given all of these opportunities for the past decade of working professionally to be obese with knowledge. Like, I want to give it away. And so it aligned with everything that I am and everything that I ever wanted to do. And it was like one of the easiest yeses of the year.
Oh,
truly.
Amazing. Yeah. And I love hearing you say that. And, you know, so many people to come in and be a guest artist and do their thing. But I mean, when you're working in an academic setting, I love that your attitude is, I'm going to take this opportunity to impart the knowledge that I have. And
I love
that you come from that. And so in our last few minutes, we're running out of time. I want to talk to you guys and say, so you are students.
Yes.
At St. Ed's. Lillian, what year are you in?
I'm a senior.
You're a senior. And what are you doing after you leave school?
After I leave school, I'm going to audition in Austin for a little while and see where that takes me. I'm doing Footloose this summer.
Okay.
Out in B Cave. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just going to work here for a little while, try to, you know.
Well, great. Well, Austin is happy to have you. And
absolutely.
Best of luck. And Juan Diego, what about you?
Yeah, I'm a senior, so I'm graduating, and I'm going to be moving back home to save up some money. Home is Los Angeles.
Okay, so. Well, there's some work there.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's good. So, hopefully, you'll if you're interested in pursuing arts and theater, you'll continue to audition and put your muscle out there. And I will tell you that's so important, is just to keep exercising
muscle.
Going.
And keep going.
Stop.
And learn. Yeah. Keep learning. Be a sponge.
Yes.
Be a sponge.
Absolutely.
So, when does the show open? When does Into the Woods open?
This Thursday.
Tomorrow night.
Oh my God, is it tomorrow?
Tomorrow night. Yeah.
Tomorrow. Whoa. Tomorrow
that
night.
That is the 11th. And when does it close?
The 21st.
The 21st.
Right.
And I was going to say, where can folks go to get more information? But I'm just going to throw this out. The easiest way to do it is to Google St. Ed's and Into the Woods, and it'll get you right there.
Yep.
But it's also at stedwards.edu.
Yes. Or through our Instagram, SEU_MMNT.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's it.
Yes. She's got it all on her head.
Yeah. I have it on the more info page on my website.
There
as
you
well.
Go.
Like, I put it everywhere.
You can find it. Well, I'm so happy y'all were on.
Thank you so much.
That was awesome sauce. Thank you.
Best good fortune with the show, and best good fortune
thank
with
you.
Everything else.
Thank
and
you.
Safe
thank
travels
you.
Back to New York when
thank
you go
you so
there.
Much.
Give my regards to Broadway.
Hey.
But thanks again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was Nyla Watson, Juan Diego Chaparro, and Lillian Harlow, along with Jarrett Mallon, of St. Ed's Mary Moody Northern Theater's production of Into the Woods. From the 11th of this month to the 21st, for more information, stedwards.edu/Google Into the Woods. And then we're going to go out with Sarah Bareilles and Brian Darcy James singing It Takes Two. We'll be back.
It takes two. I thought one was enough. It's not true.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole. What a fun time that was.
Fun.
I should say, before we start talking about local stuff, our guests have been replaced by other guests.
We've done what you call a switcheroo.
Both veterans of the show. Christopher Pressler, welcome back to the show.
Hi.
and Adrian Lancaster.
Hello.
Love you. Welcome back. We're just going to take a moment before we talk to you about your show. We're going to see what's going on locally. And where's my thing? I just need to shout out right now that this week, Fusebox Festival, they are switching to every other year. So this year, and then we don't get it for another couple of years.
It's now.
But they have also switched away. They were just the festival. Now they're not even called the Fusebox Festival anymore. No, they're called Fusebox Live. And the festival is just one of their programs. As you know, they've
one of many components.
They've been very, very busy. We had one of their programs on last week, which was Lisa B. Thompson's show.
We did.
That is the Black that Feminist was, Guide to the Human interview. Body. That was a fun interview. So I just want to shout out for three of the shows that they're doing this year, two of which are Ground Floor Theater. One is In the Beginning with C.B. Goodman. I don't know if anybody saw it when she did it at Crashbox. Did anybody see it? Oh, what an amazing, fun
evening. You've been excited
it was.
About this.
I have been excited about it. And now she's doing it in the theater. I watched, we teched it, we did the tech rehearsal yesterday.
And
it is so much fun.
That's fantastic.
And so that's a lot of fun. And then the other is Chris Grace as Scarlett Johansson. As Chris Grace being Scarlett Johansson. I don't know who Chris Grace is. I just met him. I met him today. I
thought you were going to say you didn't know who Scarlett Johansson was. I was like, really?
But he seems lovely. He's pretty well known as a YouTuber as well. both of those are at Ground Floor Theater. And the other theatrical bit that's happening is over at the Rollins Center. And it looks really amazing. And I know that it's technically much more complex than the stuff that we're doing at Ground Floor. It's called Anaton. And just Google Fusebox Festival and you'll see all that stuff. And plus they have stuff at the Contemporary, the Vortex, MOHA. They're all over the city right now.
Look at you just so much fun. Spitter spattering all that out without a note.
And then I got an email that you probably knew this a long time ago, but I'm guessing you're excited about it. I'm excited about it, but as an addition to Broadway and Austin's season, and
I did know all about it.
Annie is coming.
Yes, she is.
And oh my God, people that listen to the show, you know what? It's true what I'm about to say, but I got my shows mixed up. I went to Peter Pan in my head.
Yes, but Peter Pan was already announced, and yes,
right,
it is coming.
But no, yeah, I was thinking of anyway. But it's Annie, which I've never seen on stage.
Wow, really?
But in 1977, 76, I was doing a show in Galveston, and I had one cassette tape in my car.
And it was only Annie?
And it was Annie. And I know that music pretty well because it's all I listen to. So I'm very excited about it. I can't wait to see it. I've never seen it on stage.
I'm excited that you're finally going to see it.
Other things that are happening, I want to get to this right now so we have time for our next guest. Anklets in the Boardroom by Leela. We got one more chance to see that on the 20th of this month. A Year with Frog and Toad over at Zach Theater through
Frog
the 14th.
Frog and Toad make me smile.
Who doesn't like the Frog and the Toad?
You know.
The Good Thief is at Hyde Park. They will be our guests next week. They're playing the 11th to the 27th. The Prom is still at the Zach through the 12th of... Really? Closes on the 12th?
No. It closes the beginning of next month. It
okay,
just opened
this past
weekend.
That's what I thought. That couldn't be right. Yes. So I have the wrong dates.
That's
on
May.
It.
May. Go look. May.
May. Born with Teeth is at Austin Playhouse through the 28th. We just talked to Into the Woods, who's plays through the 21st. Romeo and Juliet at UT through the 21st. And then Romeo and Juliet over at the Richard Garriott's Curtain, which is the Baron's Men from April 5th, which has already happened. So it plays now through the 28th. Mm-hmm. We already talked about the Black Feminist Guide to the Human Body at the Vortex, which opens tomorrow through May 4th.
We're about to talk to
Austin Rainbow Theater and their show Log Cabin, which opens on the 12th through the 20th. And then just because we love it so much, I put it in here twice, A Year with Frog and Toad again.
You know why? Because Frog and Toad make a smile.
And then we also talked about this show. I don't know. I don't know if I call it a show. It's a show. It's Cheerful Secrets. It's Overheard on a Train, where you go on a train.
That's right.
And you do your own reading.
We were very confused about.
Yeah, it's still very
taking
confusing.
You one place to the other versus the other. But
yes.
It's still all fascinating.
But it starts downtown, and you don't go too far. You come back.
Yeah.
So that's that. Let's go to Today in Theater History, shall
we? What happened today, Lisa?
So many things.
In that theater history, what happened?
So many things. Well,
tell me.
Let's start with Let's start with birthdays, shall we?
All right.
Laura Bell Bundy. It's her birthday.
Mm. Oh, good for her.
Alexandra Socha, who I don't know who that is, but she looks familiar.
Yeah, I was about to say, is there a picture? Because you would know her if you saw her.
Henry Hayden Patton. It's his birthday.
That's a mouthful.
It is. It's like three words. Like, mm-hmm. David Harbour as well. Openings. We had Bullets Over Broadway, which opened in 2014. The Pillow Man opened in 2005. I almost played this, but I had better things to play. But George M. Opened in 1968. Catch Me If You Can opened in 2011. And then finally, one of your favorites, 2003-9. That's a revival.
The revival.
That's the second revival.
But that's when it closed, not when it opened.
It says it's opened.
I saw it on the day after the year anniversary of 9/11.
It opened 2003, it says.
So that's interesting.
So,
but that's with Chita Rivera and Antonio Banderas.
At the Eugene
and Mary
O'Neill.
Stuart Masterson and... Yeah.
Yep. So anyway, so with that, we are going to play from that
version. Cheetah.
We're going to play Cheetah doing Folie Bergère.
Before, you know.
Okay, good. Congratulations. So
I'm
have I.
I'm just saying I connect to Cheetah.
Good,
there.
Connect. Here we go. We'll be right back.
Folie Bergère.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole. You know, I want to. I listened to the Sarah Silverman podcast, which I would recommend to folks if you're a podcast listener.
You like that one? You like the podcast?
I love the podcast. I'm a podcastaholic. But Sarah Silverman, I know we're not. We can talk about her because she wrote The Bedwetter. That's going to come to Broadway. It was off Broadway. She's a very intelligent. It's a call-in show where she gives advice, and she's intelligent, thoughtful, and she gives really great advice. And that's it. I like her.
You like her.
Anyway, she has it whenever she comes back from commercials. They have a little song that says, "And we're back." And I think I'm going to steal it.
I was about to say, why don't you just take
it? I'm going
to
steal it.
I mean, I can make us up our own ditty that's similar.
So we've had Austin Rainbow Theater on the program several times before, and we are lucky enough to have the founder of that organization and the artistic director and the director of this piece.
Yes.
Christopher Pressler. Hi, welcome back.
Nice to be back.
And star of the show Long Cabin is Adrian Lancaster, who I've had a long relationship with and love very dearly.
Oh, I love you too, Lisa.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks for coming on the show. We'll see you later. So tell us about Log Cabin. What is it?
So Log Cabin is a contemporary piece. It was done off-Broadway in 2017, I believe, is when it premiered.
With Jesse Tyler Ferguson.
Jesse Tyler Ferguson played one of the roles. That's correct. It's about a lot of things, but it's about pretty much queer relationships and identity in modern culture in America.
But it also takes something as a trans person, as a trans activist, and somebody that before marriage equality, trans people were pretty invisible, even within the LGBT, which were the letters back then, community. And there was a lot of animosity. There was a lot of pushback that we got as we started to push for trans rights. We got pushback more from the lesbian and gay community than almost anybody else. And this touches on that, does it not?
It definitely more than touches. It kind of punches on that in a way.
Almost literally, but not quite.
Right.
I think people are surprised to learn that there was this conflict within the queer community back then.
It's interesting. I stumbled on social around a whole thread about this because someone had asked, like, when did the letter start being used? And when was this letter? And someone was just honestly asking. They were very young, trying to figure out everything. Mm-hmm. And it started this whole... And I was like, I got sucked down this thread of reading. But it was very... We just saw to be current like that. I was like, well, I'm loving that people are having these conversations.
Mm-hmm. And it is an entire play of those conversations. And there are definitely several moments wherein if people were actually listening to each other in a way that wasn't defensive, they could have a healthy conversation. But everyone's coming from this place where, like, they've got to fight for whatever they have, whatever they want to keep, whatever they haven't gotten yet, you know. And so they're... Very interesting relationship dynamics that happen throughout.
So
the
this
show.
Is a 5-character play, correct?
Am I six characters?
Six. I was close.
I thought it was five too. Yeah. So you're
I just went there in my
just
head.
Just letting you know, I was wrong with you.
So, if I'm, and I don't know the play at all, really, but it's all the other characters are LGB, and then one T.
Correct.
Yes, I would argue one of the characters that is dating the trans male character would probably identify as queer, but it's taking place in from like 2012 to 2017, right. So queerness as an identity wasn't so prominent just yet.
No, got it. And is this a comedy? Dramedy?
Yes.
I'm going to say to both.
Genuinely hilarious moments and genuinely tense ones and emotional ones, yeah.
Lovely. And so as director, Christopher, what's your take on this? How have you approached this piece?
The reason I wanted to direct this piece is because, honestly, it really scared me.
Okay.
Because it does have those really difficult conversations and a lot of things that my community as a gay male or just a cisgendered gay person in general still, I don't think, has come to grips with, that we need to sort of own that we have been the cause for a lot of animosity towards the trans community.
Not you specifically. But.
Well, you know, maybe, like even like humbly in my youth, like, yes, that was right. Something that, because the way I was raised in East Texas, it was hard enough, like accepting being a gay man and then to accept also like transness and all these other things. It's back then it was not as prevalent as it is now,
sure.
You know, at least not in the open as prevalent as it is now. And so I wanted to... I feel like our audience, the audience that comes to our shows, already accepts the fact that we need to be fighting for trans rights in, you know, the way we vote and everything. But they're not yet fully understanding that we still have work to do, those of us who are queer, who are cisgender and queer.
Sure. Yeah. How is it for you, Adrian, as this character?
Horrible. I hate it. I'm just kidding.
So, I was like, you said that with a smile.
Interesting. Yeah. They can't hear my smile. Yeah. It's interesting because there are scenes where my character is not there, such as right before the introduction of Henry, the character I play, where they are sitting around sort of getting it all out of their system, all of the nasty things that they shouldn't say in front of a trans person, maybe frustrations about you going to a feminist panel and seeing a trans woman there and et cetera. And so like all together right before I walk on stage, the characters all go, "Him as practice." And it's like the first couple times I'm like, "Whoa, okay." So this is going to be interesting for some people in the audience, but in a way that is intensely relatable and real and that echoes my experiences, and everybody's lovely, of course, obviously. So it's been interesting. And the thing I love about my character is that he is not just this paragon trans man, like can do no wrong, sweet baby that I think that we're characterized as a lot. Although I do play a baby. We can talk about that later. but yeah, he's flawed and does some bad things in the show as well, and so does everybody in their moments. And so I think it's
like
really,
we're all flawed,
yeah, right.
We
which
all
is nice.
Forget. So it's just that's
I'd rather not play just a perfect trans boy that everybody, you know, idolizes. Well,
there's no
pities,
such thing,
right?
Yeah, right?
No.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. And that's
what, does that exist?
Well, of course not.
And that's one of the good things about writing, contemporary writing these days. We're starting to write characters that have a full arc, and they're not one way or the other. They're more of a complete human being. So I'm assuming that's what this character is.
Yeah, definitely.
And are the characters, so I'm also assuming that the other five characters are not all archetypes of things. They're all
right.
Fully formed characters.
That's really one of the things that attracted me so much to this play, is that these are real people with so many flaws, and I think that this play shows them, without giving too much away, this play shows them at some of their lowest points, but it forgives them in the end, because it allows them room to grow.
Sure. Which is all that we can ask for.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, just in our last minute or so, Austin Rainbow Theater is a queer-focused theater. And so it's important that you're bringing this kind of stuff to the forefront. You talked about why you're doing this show. what can you tell us what other plans you have moving forward?
Ooh.
Yes.
She wants you to spill all your secrets right now.
We will be announcing our next season coming up very soon in the next couple of weeks. And we'll be producing all of our next season at Ground Floor Theater next year. So
dun, dun, dun. I didn't even know that.
Excellent.
You should go there sometime.
I heard it's a good place to go. I'm going to have to go.
Funny.
That's exciting. And, you know, we've not had... You know, every city I've lived in has had a theater company that is uniquely queer. And I believe that you are the only one that their mission is specifically queer.
Specifically, but there is also a lot of fantastic queer theater happening here
absolutely.
In Austin, for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. But yeah. I mean, I think it's important to have someone that's doing that work. So thank you for doing that. When does Log Cabin open?
We open this Friday, the 12th, and we play until the 20th at Trinity Street Playhouse.
Lovely. And where can folks go to get more information?
AustinRainbowTheater.org.
Lovely. I will say this. I say this every time when we talk about Trinity Street Theater.
I was just about to say, you love that spot.
I do love it. People get scared because it's downtown. There's plenty of parking. Mm-hmm. So yes. Don't be afraid of the parking. It's always available.
Thanks.
Well, great. Thank you guys for coming on the show.
Thank you
for having us.
Yeah, thanks so much.
I really appreciate it. I can't wait to see it. That was Christopher Pressler and Adrian Lancaster of Austin Rainbow Theater's production of Log Cabin from the 12th of this month through the 20th. More information, austinrainbow.org. And, you know, we talked about that when I read about this, there's a lot of Civil War-y kind of things, the warring amongst a community. So I had to go to the Civil War, Frank Wildhorn.
The concept album.
Yeah, and this is Patti LaBelle singing Someday.
The Pharaoh could not be what Moses heard. The desert loud and clear.
I only have time to say goodbye at this point because coming up next is Austin Cooperative Radio Hour with the Austin Common Radio Hour and John Hoffner. So stand by for that. We'll be back next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Bye, everybody.
Moses waited patiently. Surely was he tried. What Pharaoh needs.